Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Well, we're starting a new series, and the reason we're starting this new series, we're leading up to Easter, and at Easter, we're going to talk about some of the things that happened to Christ right before he died and was resurrected. But I think sometimes what we get wrong is we don't really know who Jesus is. We know about Jesus, but we don't always know who Jesus is. And we don't really understand how to apply what he did to our life. Sometimes we view him so far away from us that he's not tangible to us. And so I've been haunted by this verse in Matthew chapter 7. And it really bothers me. It bothers me for myself. It bothers me for you. It bothers me for the church around the world. And here's what Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says. And it's Jesus speaking. He says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." Right off the bat, I could just stop right there. And if that doesn't bother you a little bit, then maybe you don't really know who Jesus is. Because it bothers me the fact that someone can call him Lord. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Like, all I got to do is believe. Like, all I got to do is just say the prayer. All I got to do is raise my hand and fill out the card. And that's all I got to do, right? But it says here that not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, so in other words, Jesus is saying he's going to be the judge. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. Right off the bat, those are the people I think are getting to heaven first. And he's saying, you're going to come to me at the judgment and you're going to tell me all the great things you did in my name. It says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. I've got a problem with this verse today because it scares me, it haunts me. The fact that there's going to be Christians that go to hell. But Pastor, that's not right. Like, you can't say that, right? No, no, no. These are people that are calling on the name of the Lord and they're going to hell. This doesn't make sense to me. And probably in those days, it didn't make a lot of sense either. But nowadays, it's starting to become a little bit more clear because we live in this society where as long as you wear the label of Christian, then you're okay. As long as you put on a Gateway Family t-shirt, then you're okay. As long as you show up to church once or twice a month, then you're okay. And we've got this mentality that as long as I can claim Christianity, then I'm okay. And Jesus says, I don't care what label you wear. I don't care what kind of markings, what kind of tattoos you got on your body. He says, I don't care what kind of t-shirt you put on. I don't care which church you attended. You can call me Lord and still not make it if you're not doing the right thing. And so I want us to do this whole series to find out who he is. Who he is in our life. We need to know him. That word there, it says, I never knew you. It doesn't mean that he never knew our name. It meant he never knew us in relationship. That there's this level of relationship that we have to have with Christ that goes beyond our religion. It goes beyond our Instagram account and how many scriptures we post on Facebook. It goes beyond how often we attend or which church we attend. There's this level of relationship that we've got to have. And it bothers me. I used to look at people's lives, and I'm not being judgy because I'm the same way. It bothers me about me. But whenever I talk about Christ and I go to church and I tell people what church I go to, but then my lifestyle does not reflect the same life that Jesus lives, that bothers me. It bothers me when I see people that live this life but then can gradually or every so often throw in the name of Christ or throw in church attendance, and it's like it makes everything okay. We live in such freedom that we can do whatever we want and live however we want, and the Bible doesn't say that. Period. So let's talk about how can we figure this out. Well, the kind of the key verse for all of this series is Matthew chapter 16. And it's a story of Jesus and his disciples. And so Matthew 16, 13 is where we're going to start. And we're going to read the first two verses and then we'll keep going. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So I want to talk for just a second. I want us to look at this, just these two verses, because this is going to really set us up for the rest of the message and even the rest of the series. He's talking to them in a place called Caesarea Philippi. The reason that's important is because Caesarea Philippi was outside of where the Jews normally went. So he knew he could get out here kind of on the outskirts of town. He could get away and not have a bunch of people around where he could really get into it with his disciples. He could really talk to his disciples and teach them. But the place where he goes just happens to be a place full of idols and temples and false gods. As a matter of fact, there's a temple there, or there was a temple there to the god Pan, and actually the name Caesarea Philippi wasn't always that. It was sometimes called different names associated with Pan, and Pan was this god of the wilderness and this god of sexuality and sexual immorality, really, not just sexuality. And so Pan was this very demonic influence over that area. There were other gods that they worshiped there, and Jesus is standing here. So I need you to see the background of what's happening. Jesus walks out with his disciples. He's standing with these other gods, these other idols and temples in the backdrop of where he is. And he looks at his disciples and he says, who do people say that I am? We live in a society today where if you believe in spiritual influence and demonic influence, then you would understand that this whole idea of Pan is, and I'm not saying that the spirit Pan is alive in our society. But when you look at what's happening in our society, with all the sexual confusion, with people just being lost and wandering, people not knowing what's going on, people believing anything and everything, we live in Caesarea Philippi. We live in a place where there's tons of gods around us. There's tons of gods. We worship money and we worship things and we've got Buddha and we've got Muhammad and we just, like the Hindus, you know, the Hindus have this thing where they will believe anything. Hindus have millions of gods, and so whenever a missionary goes to a Hindu and says, hey, do you believe in Jesus? Let me tell you about Jesus. Like, oh, yeah, we'll take Jesus. We got him. They believe in anything, and that's the kind of society we live in today, where you just kind of believe whatever you want, and you live however you want, and Jesus is in this backdrop where you just kind of do your own thing. And he says, who do you think, or who do people say that I am? And then his disciples say, well, some people say you're John, and some people say you're Elijah, and some people say you're Jeremiah. John was a reformer, and some people viewed Jesus as this like reformer, like stand up to the man, and I'm anti the establishment. So they viewed Jesus as that kind of guy. And then some people viewed him as Elijah, as just a miracle worker, just some kind of spiritual magician. And then some people viewed him as Jeremiah, as a prophet, that he's a good guy and he's gonna preach really, really well for us. And isn't that kind of how we view Jesus today? Sometimes we view him as just one of the gods that are out there. Sometimes we view him as just some kind of reformer, some kind of miracle worker, or some kind of prophet, some kind of good guy. We view Jesus a lot of different ways. As a matter of fact, some of us view Jesus as a Republican. We think Jesus is a Republican because he's pro-life and he's anti-big government, right? Like, we think Jesus is a Republican, and we think as long as we're a Republican, then Jesus is on our side. But if you're a Democrat today, you probably think Jesus is a Democrat because he's all about social justice and he's all about anti-big business, right? And he's all about the climate control and being green. Well, which one is he? Is he a Republican or is he a Democrat? He can't be both. But we view Jesus that way. Some of us view Jesus as an American. We've got this Uncle Sam Jesus that we live with, that just the simple fact that we live in America makes us Christians. That we think America is a Christian country. And so we've got Uncle Sam Jesus. Some of us believe in touchdown Jesus. Right? Have you ever noticed that when somebody scores a touchdown, somebody wins the national championship, they get up and start saying, I just want to thank Jesus for helping us win this national championship. But what about the Christians on the other team? Was he mad at them? Does Jesus only like Clemson? I mean, probably. He obviously doesn't like LSU. Sometimes we have red carpet Jesus. This one is one of the most foolish ones I've ever seen. Some lady does a movie where she exploits her own body and curses the Lord and acts as though she's doing these terrible things, and then she gets up and says, I just want to thank Jesus, my Lord and Savior, for this Oscar. Really? Is what you did glorifying to Him, and so He therefore made you win the Oscar? What kind of Jesus are we worshiping? Sometimes we worship Guru Jesus. Guru Jesus, you know Him. He wants to help you find your path in life, and He wants you to be accepting of everybody and everything. And Guru Jesus says, just love everybody, and love is the answer to all things. And as long as you love, then everything's going to be okay. Sometimes we have Santa Claus Jesus, and boy, do we have Santa Claus Jesus. We preach Santa Claus Jesus a lot because we think Santa Claus Jesus is as long as I say it, then I'm going to get it. As long as I ask for it, then it's going to happen for me. And He's going to give me everything that I want. And we become spoiled little children reaching out to Santa Claus Jesus. It reminds me that one of my favorite movies at Christmas time is A Christmas Story. And the little boy's asking for the Red Ryder BB gun, right? And I feel like today's message is going to be that kind of Santa Claus, that the little boy's saying, I want a Red Ryder BB gun. And he's on the slide, and Santa Claus reaches down with his foot and just like kicks him in the face. And is like, no, you'll shoot your eye out. And he goes down the slide, right? And that's kind of what I think is going to happen to so many people that feel like Jesus is Santa Claus Jesus. He's just going to give them whatever they want. At some point, Jesus is going to be like, boop, no. You know, and they just go down the slide right into hell. That's horrible. And so we've got these different versions of Jesus that we believe in. And so we need to figure out who He really is today. Peter says this, Matthew chapter 16, the rest of that story, 15 through 17. Then Jesus asked them, but who do you say that I am? You know, it's one thing to know what everybody else says about Jesus, but it's something else to know what you say about Jesus. Jesus looks at His disciples and says, who do you guys say that I am? I don't care what everybody else thinks. I care about what the people that are close to me think. I care about the people that I have a relationship with think. And He says, who do you think that I say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. I want to unpack that real quickly before we move on to who Jesus says He is. And just unpacking that for a second. He said, Messiah, Son of the living God. The word Messiah there means anointed. It means Savior. Jesus said of Himself earlier on in the Bible, He said that I am anointed. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to set the captives free, to open blinded eyes. In other words, Jesus is the anointed, appointed Savior of mankind. He is the Messiah that we need to be living for. He's the one that will rescue us. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Joshua. And Joshua's name is very similar to Jesus' name. And some people say you can connect the two, that they're actually connected as far as the name is concerned. But Joshua was the guy that led the Israelites from the wilderness into the promised land. And that's exactly what Jesus is for us. He's the one that leads us from the wilderness into the promised land. He is the Messiah. He's not just some God. He is the God. The next thing He says is, He says, you're the Son of the living God. And in those days, if you said that, it meant that you are one with God. So Peter wasn't just saying that you're a prophet from God. He wasn't just saying that you're just an anointed holy man. He said, you are God. You are on the same page with Him. You are on the same level as Him. You are God on earth. And Jesus said, man, you got it right. Something else it says, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Now, the version I just read did not say gates, it said powers. But in other versions it says gates. And that's important to understand because the word gate is a place in the Old Testament, in the Bible times, where in the cities they would have the gates, and in the gates is where you would have all the strategies and the planning meetings and the city council. They would all meet at the gate of the city to discuss business. And what Jesus is saying is on this rock, not the rock Peter, but the rock of faith in Jesus Christ, the rock meaning that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that we need to understand and believe today that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He's not touchdown Jesus. He's not Santa Claus Jesus. He's not guru Jesus. He's not red carpet Jesus. He's not some kind of reformer. He's not a prophet. He's not a miracle worker. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And if we build our life on that rock, then no strategy from hell, no plan from hell can conquer us. That's how whenever I went to that funeral on Friday and I got to talk to David and I got to see this man walk by the casket of his daughter and she's laying there and he gets to walk by there and he comes back around and they start the service and he did cry and he did shed some tears, but he stood up and he worshiped God and he told us that he loves God and nothing is going to shake his faith in Jesus Christ. How does that happen? How do you live like that? You live like that because you've built your life on a rock that no strategy from hell that says, you know what, if we take out his daughter, then he'll fall. No strategy from hell can shake you and conquer you because you're built on a rock that says, I've got a Savior. I don't have a guru. See, if you got a Santa Claus is going to let you down. There's plenty of Christmases you're going to wake up and no matter what you ask Santa for, it didn't come. A guru is going to let you down. A miracle worker, if you just view Jesus as a miracle worker, you're going to be disappointed because there's going to be a time you're going to pray for something and it doesn't happen. It's because he's not here just to be a miracle worker. He's here to be a Savior. He's not here to make you feel good in the wilderness. He's here to get you into the promised land. And so we need to view Jesus for who he is. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. What are we going to do? Who are we going to lean on? What rock can we lean on when we lose our job, when our kid dies, when our spouse cheats on us? What rock are we going to lean on when the church falls apart and goes crazy, right? What rock are we going to lean on? We got to lean on the fact that we've got a Savior. We don't have a good man. We got a Savior. I want to see what Jesus said about himself in John chapter 14, and we're going to give you three little thoughts here this morning. But Jesus said this in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So Jesus is showing us right there that he's the Savior. In other words, he's saying you can't get to the promised land. You can't get out of your wilderness. You can't get out of your issue, out of your problem. You can't get yourself out of sin unless you come through me to get through the Father. So what does it mean to be the way, the truth, and the life? So the first thing we need to understand today is he is the way. He's the way to God. He's the way to the promise. Our good deeds won't get us there. Our good actions won't get us there. Our label, our politics, our church affiliation, our church attendance, none of that is going to get us to see the Father. None of that gets us to heaven. Only Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 3 verses 4 through 7 says, when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he has made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. In other words, it has nothing to do with our good deeds. It has everything to do with his grace and his Spirit being poured out upon us. He is the Savior. You can't earn your way into heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We need to understand today that he is the way. He is not a way. He is the way. The only way. Yeah, but Pastor, I mean, that's old news. Like, we don't believe in Buddha or Muhammad. We don't believe in all these other gods. We don't believe in all this stuff. No, but sometimes we believe in ourselves a little bit too much. Sometimes we believe in ourselves that we're going to get ourselves into heaven. Sometimes we think that we're going to earn something. Sometimes we think if I give more, if I serve more, if I attend more, that all of a sudden something good is going to happen. But it doesn't have anything to do with what you do. It has everything to do with you having faith and believing that He is the Savior and then living it out. The second thing He says He is, and I told you we're going to move quickly today, is He is the truth. What is the truth? The truth is heaven is real, but so is hell. We live in a world today that doesn't want to talk about this. We don't want to talk about the fact that hell is real. We don't want to talk about a loving God would allow people to go to hell. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that there's going to come a point, Matthew 25, says where He's going to divide people down the middle. And they're all going to say, Lord. But not all of them are going to make it in. Why does He say that? He says that because He loves us, but He's not going to make us serve Him. He loves us, but He's not going to make us serve Him. The truth is, He will return to judge us. The truth is, He is the one we should aspire to be. He is the one that we should look for. He is the standard by which we should set our life. Not who people say, not what preachers say, but by what He lived and did. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 says, "For those who God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." The word there, conformed, means to be changed, to be molded, to be shaped. Listen, we want to be shaped according to what someone on Instagram tells us to be shaped by. We're listening to podcasts to figure out how to live, but the Bible says we should be shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. Not the image of the pastor, not the image of the leadership, not the image of the church, but we should be shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. What happens is we don't like His shape. We don't like His image all the time. But the Bible says that should be our goal. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being what? Transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." In other words, what He's saying there is He says, hey, your eyes are open now to see who Jesus is, and so therefore, you should be being transformed into His image. We don't need to be the best version of ourselves. We need to be a version of Him. We need to be molded and shaped and changed into who He is, not to our best self. That's great, but that's still worshiping yourself above worshiping Him. And the truth is, we need to be like Him. The truth is, we need to be like Him. So here's where we need to pause for a second and examine our own life. And this is where we begin to examine our own life and say, how much like Him am I really? Like, how much like Him are those thoughts I had? How much like Him are those things I said? How much like Him are the selfish things, the way I pursue people, the way I pursue money? How much like Jesus am I really? Well, Gabriel, you're holding us to way too high of a standard. Is that a bad thing? Would you prefer that we have a low standard that everybody can hit? Like, would that be easier for us? It would. We could preach a message today that says you're all good just the way you are, and don't you worry about changing your life, and Jesus loves you just the way you are, and He's going to keep you just the way you are. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says you can call Him Lord, but if you don't live up to the standard that He set, then you don't get to heaven. And that's why this whole thing bothers me, because I just see way too many people that call themselves Christians, but they don't live up to any kind of standard. Look, man, these are my friends. These are people that I love. This is myself. When I see the way I act sometimes, when I see the old ways that rise up inside of me sometimes, I think this is not the right standard that I should be living up to. I'm not calling us to legalism or some kind of, you know, made up thing. I'm just saying, hey, we got to live like Christ. We've got to set a standard that's higher than what we would normally set. He also calls Himself the life. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it says, "For in Him we live and move and exist." There's a thing, Pastor Jonathan and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about this, and I was telling him, man, I'm kind of bothered by some of this, and I want us to really live for Christ. I want us to really be disciples of Christ. I don't want us just to be Christians in name only. I want us to really pursue Christ and love Him and know Him. And I said, this is what bothers me, is sometimes we tell people that you just got to accept Christ into your life. And I've said that a million times over the course of my career as a pastor and a preacher, that you just accept Christ. Just as long as you accept Him into your life. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say that. And when I think about the term accept Christ into my life, here's what I think. I think that we just are saying to Jesus, we're allowing you to just have a spot in what we're already doing. I mentioned the Hindus earlier. One of my friends is a missionary in Nepal, Doug Jacobs. He was here back in December. And Doug was telling me that he said, whenever you witness to the Nepalese and you witness to the Hindus, he said, here's the difficult thing, is because they have so many gods, millions of gods, they are willing to accept anything in. And he said, so whenever I witness to them, if I tell them about Jesus, they get real excited about Jesus and they accept Jesus very quickly, but they never let go of all their other gods. He says, so this is very interesting. It probably has nothing to do with my message today, but I think you're going to find it interesting. He says, so the way that we approach the Hindus is we approach them with Moses, not Jesus. And we tell them about Moses, and we tell them about how Moses met God in a fiery bush. And that God that Moses met conquered all other gods. And he says, and then we tell them, when they understand that there's a God that's above all other gods, then we tell them that same God had a son named Jesus. And they're above all other gods. And so therefore we drop all the other gods and only worship Him. And I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking about how we in our Western society are no different. We accept Jesus into our life. We don't build our life on Him. We accept Him into our life. We don't do what Acts 17 says, where we live and move and have our existence within Him. We say, Jesus, I'm already doing all this other stuff, so I will accept You in to be a part of what I'm already got going on. Instead of saying, Jesus, I'm dropping all my gods and I'm only serving You. We got to get past accepting Him. We got to view Him as the life. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in Me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. This is interesting to me because, again, he shows us that He is the life. He's saying, I'm the vine, and all you are branches off of the vine. Therefore, the only way you can live is to be attached to the vine. That life flows through the vine, from the ground, up through the vine, and out into the branches. He says, but if you choose not to be attached to the vine, then you're not going to have life. He said, you got to remain in Me. Not only is He the life, as far as the source of life, but He's also the life as far as the lifestyle we live. See, life isn't just a moment. Your life isn't lived just because you were born. Your life is lived because you stay alive. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read this earlier, verse 8, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. I'm going to stop right there. The word faith there, if you look in the Greek translation of faith, what it means is it doesn't mean faith, like a moment of belief. It means faithfulness or fidelity, right? Like a husband or a wife staying together. It's something that means longevity. It is a lifestyle. It is something I do forever. It's not something I do in a moment. And that's where we get it wrong in church sometimes, is we tell people, as long as you say the prayer at the altar, then the rest of your life doesn't matter because you had your moment of faith right here. So you can go off and live however you want to live. You can do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter because you had your moment. As long as I dunk you under the water or sprinkle something on your head, that was your moment of faith. And therefore, that's all you need for the rest of your life. But the Bible doesn't say that. They translated that word in a way that is confusing. Because when they said faith, they didn't mean a moment. They meant a lifestyle. They meant faithfulness. They meant fidelity. They meant you got to stick with this thing. You don't just come to Christ and say, forgive me now, and then that's it. No, no, no. It's a lifestyle that you live. He says that. Look, if you go back up, it says, those who remain in Me. In other words, there's an option there where you don't remain in Him. There's a place in there where you can start and not remain. Yeah, but Pastor, the Bible says it, that no one can take me away from God's love. You are right. God will always love you. But you got to make the choice every single day when you wake up that I'm staying faithful to you. I love my wife, and I made a vow that I would love her until I die. But every day when I wake up, I have to renew that vow in my heart. Every day when I wake up, I make the choice. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to love you. And whenever I come across a website that's got something on it I shouldn't be looking at, I've got to remember that I'm faithful to my wife. I'm also faithful to my God, and I have to turn that off. Whenever someone comes up to me and they start saying some things that they shouldn't be saying or inviting you to do something you shouldn't be doing, those are the moments that I have to remember that I'm faithful to somebody. It's not that I was married to her and my faith was just that one day on our wedding day and now I can do whatever I want. It is an everyday experience that I live out.
We've got to be faithful. He's the way. He's the only way you can get to heaven. He's the only way. He is not a way. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the standard that we live up to. He's what we build our life on. Whenever our life is shaken by life's storms, He's the one that we lean on. And He's the life. He's the life we live. In Him, I move and live and have my existence. It's only in Him. Yeah, but does that mean that I can't watch the movies I used to watch? I don't know what that means for you. Does that mean that I can't go to the same places I used to go to? I don't know. What does it mean to you? What is Jesus saying to you today? What is His Spirit doing in your life today? I know this. I know it's progressive. I know the Bible says that we move from glory to glory until we make it to His image. So I know there's some of us on different levels today. But I also know this. If you're not moving, then you're dying. If you're not growing, then you're dying. And I choose to grow. I hope that my standard at 39 years old is way better than my standard was at 29 years old. And that doesn't give you an excuse at 29 to say, well, pastor said my standards will be better later, you know? No. I just hope that you're growing. I hope that we're willing to look for the truth in the way and the life. So my question to you today is, who do you say He is? Who do you say He is today? The title of this series is Who is Jesus? But the question is for you. And it's for me. Who is He to you today? Because if He's not your Savior, if He's not your Messiah, if He's not your way, if He's not your truth, if He's not your life, then something's missing. You're worshiping the wrong God. And today, He loves you. And He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to live for Him. He doesn't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. He wants to be your life. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? We've got folks today that they want to pray with you. They're going to come down to the front. If you're new today, there's nothing weird about this. It's biblical. And coming down to the front doesn't mean that you're coming down to get saved. There may be some of you that have some health issues. I know someone came up to me the other day. I don't know if they want me sharing this, who this is publicly yet, but they just said, hey, I got a report back from the doctor. You know, they're thinking I've got cancer. We've had people come in here and you've got issues going on at home. You've got things happening at work. And so if you need prayer for anything today, when they start singing, we want to invite you to come down and let somebody pray with you. The Bible says, let the leaders of the church put their hands on you and pray for you and love you. And that's what we invite you to do today at the end of this, when they start singing. But before they do, let's just close our eyes for a second. Let's just look at our own life for just a minute. And on your own, I want you to begin to ask yourself, who is Jesus? Who do I say He is? Is He my way? Is He the one that provides the way for me to come out of my sin, to come out of my wilderness and into His promise? Or do I try to fix everything myself? Is He my truth? Is He the one I build my life on? Or do I just view Him as a good guy with some good philosophies? Is He the truth? Is He the standard that I'm living up to today? Last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about marriage. And Paul says that Jesus is the standard even for our marriages. That we should, husbands, love our wives like Christ loves the church. And so therefore, is He the standard? Is He the truth in my marriage today? Is He the life? Is He the one that is not only my source, but He's the one that I'm living for and living through? That He is my life. He's not just part of my life. Today, maybe you need to give up some stuff in your life. Maybe you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you and change the sin that you've been living in, the lifestyle you've been living in. Maybe today you need to give over your life to Him. And if that's you this morning, I want you just to slip your hand up. You can put it right back down. If you say, Gabriel, just pray for me. Just pray for me. Awesome. Yeah, you can put it right back down. Thank you. Yep, I see you. I want you to pray on your own today, but I'm going to pray over you right now. God, I pray for each and every person that lifted up their hands. And I just ask right now that You would help them to find You as their Lord and their Savior. God, I pray today that You would forgive us of our sins. We ask You today, God, we ask You to forgive us. We ask You to change us. Don't leave us the same. God, today we repent. That means we change our minds and we change our lives. God, we turn away from our sin. We turn away from our bad habits. We turn away from those things that draw us from You. And God, today we turn to You and we follow You. And God, we pursue You. God, today we believe and we have faith to know that You are our Savior. You're the rock. You're the breath. You're the life. You're the way and the truth. God, today we buy in 100%, God. So God, help us to be faithful today. Help us to be faithful every day to love You, to serve You, to give You our life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.